Well, good morning, LifePoint Online. Thanks so much for joining us today. Before we jump into the message, I just want to give you just a little bit of a reminder. So we'll be in person, obviously, today. We'll be in person at Lewis Center again next week. After that, we will have 3 weeks where our services will be online only. It'll take us a week to pack, it'll take us a week to move, and it'll take us at least a week to unpack and get everything installed for our first services over there at our new facility on August the 15th. You can find information out about that, about the dates out via email that hopefully we've sent to you. If you didn't get the email, you can check out the website and get more information there. If you've got any questions, email us info@lifepointohio.com. I'll say that I'm really excited about the 3 weeks where we are online only together, because today we're moving into the book of Acts. And so, like, the first week online, we'll be looking at the Holy Spirit, the gospel, and miraculous healing, and how that works and happens in the scripture. The second week, we're going to look at what I think is one of the scariest passages in all the Bible. It's one of those that when you read it, it just kind of gives you, you know, just gives you a little shiver. And then the third week, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 10 and how the early church handled majority, minority, cultural issues, diversity, racism, things like that, which is obviously very apropos in our culture today. So I hope that you'll mark your calendars down, join us for all 3 weeks online. Every week we'll do like a little bit of a live look in over at the new campus to try and show you just a little bit of some of the new areas that we'll experience whenever we have our first services, like I said, over there on the 15th. But for today, we will jump back into our series called Beyond the Shallows, where we're looking at the life of Jesus through the lens of Simon Peter. I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I have, learning to follow Jesus one step at a time. That's been the big idea for us. Simon Peter, he's not a perfect example for us, but he is a passionate example for us, which is incredibly helpful as we learn to follow and stay present in the moment and not try and look too far forward or too far backward. We want to be hindered by our past. We don't want to be too worried about our future. We want to experience God right now in the present, in the moment. And so, After we've looked at Jesus in the Gospels and Simon Peter's experience there, now we flip over to the book of Acts. And so, coming out of Luke's Gospel, for example, Luke had this this sense that as he was writing his Gospel, he was writing about Jesus for us. When he writes the book of Acts, he's now writing more about Jesus through us in the person work of the Holy Spirit, who's kind of the main character in the book of Acts. I'll give you the example. So Luke chapter 1, when he starts the gospel, he says this: "It seemed to me good also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus." So it seems like Luke chapter 1, verse 3, he's writing this letter to a guy named Theophilus, or as some have suggested, it's really not to a specific person named Theophilus, but if you break that down, right, two Greek words smushed together, theos, which is God, philos, which is a derivative of the word phileo, city of brotherly love, right, Philadelphia. Phileo is the word for love, and it's friendly love. So maybe Luke is writing his letter to the ones that he calls the friends of God or the God lovers. So he writes his gospel. Then he gets to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and he says this: "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." So in other words, the gospel is just the beginning. When he gets to the book of Acts, he's talking about the transition that's going to take place. "Until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles with whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days." That's the 40 days he's speaking of between the resurrection and the ascension, and speaking about the kingdom of God. So in other words, what Luke introduces to us here is that Jesus, during these 40 days, as people would come and talk to him, as he would go and talk to people, what was on his heart was the kingdom. Come to talk to Jesus. "Hey, Jesus, how you doing?" "Good. Let's talk about the kingdom. Talk about the kingdom in your family. How do you see the kingdom in your work, in your relationships? How do you see the kingdom working in the culture?" It was the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. That's the beginning of the book of Acts. When you get to the end of the book of Acts, you've got the Apostle Paul there waiting a couple of years, two whole years to be seen. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. He, Paul, lived there two whole years at his own expense, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. So you've got Jesus at the beginning of the book teaching kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. You got Paul at the end of the book of Acts talking about kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. Everyone who came to see him, everyone who came to visit him, let's talk about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. So I think it should encourage us as New Testament Christians, as New Testament believers, that our lives ought to be about the kingdom. Now, here's why that's important. We live in a culture where the goal is not always the kingdom. That a lot of times, the goal is the church. And I just want to clearly say to us, according to the New Testament, as much as I see it, according to the ministry of Jesus, the church is not the goal. Now, the church is a tool, right, to get to the goal, but the goal is the expansion of the kingdom. Summertime right now, maybe some of you are planting a garden. I know out at the Folks Homestead, we've got some little garden boxes out there. And whenever we plant a garden, we got one goal, right? The goal is sweet corn, buttered up, salted up on my plate, third week of July, right? That's the goal. Now, there's lots of tools that help us get to the goal. You got to have seeds, you got to have fertilizer, you got to have soil, you got to have a garden hoe, you've got to have all those things. But those things are a means to the goal. And the goal is the kingdom. And it's not even just that we get a goal, but Jesus, right here at the beginning of the book of Acts, he gives us a strategy to arrive at the goal via the vehicle, the tool of the church. Here's what he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I know it's very familiar verse to some of you. It says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So the local churches are a means to the kingdom. And you're like, well, Dean, you're making a big deal out of this. Why are you making such a big deal? Because as we step towards this facility move, one concerning thing is that we're going to make this move first time in 17 and a half years. We've had our own facility. There's been so much emphasis, so much generosity given to this, that we're going to move into this new facility on August 15th. And maybe we're going to go, whew, man, we made it. And we're going to have this tendency to say, we finally have our own space. We made it. But the reality is the church, and the building isn't even the church, but the church is not the goal. The kingdom is the goal. And I don't say that any way to diminish the church. The church is not a vehicle. It is the vehicle. It is the means to deliver the kingdom according to the New Testament. You say, well, what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God, the kingdom is God's sovereign rule, such that in the lives of people, he brings people to himself that will give him the worship that he deserves. Now, incidentally, that also leads to this reality that not just does God get the worship he deserves, but we get the joy and the hope and the peace that we really want. Those two things are not in conflict with each other. They absolutely work together. That as we worship God the way he deserves to be worshiped, the byproduct of that is joy and peace and hope that grows up in our souls. So whenever we make this move into this new facility, it's not a moment to say, oh man, whew, hey, we made it. Actually, we're just getting started. It's the beginning, not the ending. And just like for the church, I think the disciples had this same sense that when Jesus said, I'm gonna be crucified, they thought, oh man, this is the end. And then when Jesus is teaching them, I'm going to go away, I'm going to go prepare a place for you, I'm not sure the disciples got it all. And I know they struggle with it, because after Jesus shares the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth, right, concentric circles that work their way out, after Jesus shares the strategy, the disciples experience this. They experience it in verse 9. Here's the next verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 9. And when he Jesus, had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men were standing beside them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. This has always been an odd passage of scripture to me. So the disciples were listening to Jesus teach. He gives us this incredible commission and strategy, and all of a sudden, Jesus is gone. And I guess they stood there looking for a while. I don't know. I can just see the disciples were like, wow. Is he coming back? Like, is he? And they must have stood there and looked so long that God had to send an angel down to them to say, hey, fellas, stop looking up there. Like, it's time to go. He's given you this strategy. The strategy is for the church. And so, man, now is the time to go. Now is not the time to relax. Now is not the time to put it in spiritual neutral and rest. This is the beginning of the church. Let's go. It makes sense now why Jesus said certain things that he did whenever he taught. John chapter 14, verse 12, for example, Jesus says this, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. I want you to think about that for a second. Jesus said, because I'm leaving and because I'm going to the Father, you're just not going to do the same things I do. You're going to do greater things than I do. So I'm just going to ask you a question. How many of you, you can raise your hand in your living room where you're watching, how many of you would say, I did something greater than Jesus this week? I've done something greater than Jesus this year. Any time in my life have I ever done it? But Jesus said it. Jesus said, listen, if you believe in me, if you receive me, if you know me, you're going to do greater things. How in the world is that true? And here's what I think the reality is. I think that what Jesus was saying is as long as he was here on earth with the disciples, he limited himself to one physical body. He was ministering in one specific location. But because he returned to the Father and the Holy Spirit's eventually going to come, we'll talk about that next week, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and it's going to fill us as believers, all of a sudden the presence of God is not limited to one spot in one location. Rather, it fills all of the believers, and all of a sudden we're going all throughout Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then all the way to the ends of the earth. Greater impact than Jesus could have had just in one place and space, at a time. So because he goes back to the Father, all of a sudden everything changes. As a matter of fact, that is critical, that he goes to the Father, because the New Testament teaches us something that we believe doctrinally, that we hold on to tightly, is this idea that in Christ's return to heaven, that today he serves, he functions as our priest or our advocate. I'll just give you just a verse that teaches us this in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says this, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So in their world, if you ever got in trouble in a foreign country, you had to hire an advocate. Probably didn't speak the language, probably didn't know the language, but you had to hire an advocate, somebody who knew both. And your advocate became your representative. In our world, it's kind of like an attorney, right? So your advocate would go in front of a magistrate or a judge in your place, and you're really, all your hope is, it's all pinned on the advocate. Like, how eloquent are you? You're as eloquent as your advocate. How is the judge going to see you? How does he see your advocate? All of your reality, all of your future is dependent on your identification with this attorney, with this lawyer, with this advocate. And so Jesus leaves earth, goes back to heaven, and becomes our advocate with the Father. He's our representative. We're as beautiful as he is, as righteous as he is, as eloquent as he is before the Father. I was thinking about this this week, about a way that maybe this works better in our minds. I was thinking about, what if you played 2-on-2 with Steph Curry? And let's say Steph was on your team, right? And you're playing against two other guys. I don't know how you would handle that situation, but I think I would say, Steph, you're taking every shot. Like, you're used to double teams. Like, that's not going to slow you down. And I'm screening a lot for Steph, and I'm throwing the ball to Steph, and I'm making sure he's shooting every shot. Why would I do that? Because Steph and I, we're on the same team. So Steph's points are my points. Steph's three-pointers are my three-pointers. His driving layups count as my driving layups. When he comes off the screen, you've seen him do this. He comes off the screen, squares up, shoots, and he lands like this. And the shot goes in, and he does that little shimmy thing, which was a terrible version of Steph Curry's shimmy. But you get it. That's Steph's shimmy is my shimmy, right? He, in effect, everything he scores is my score. And so Jesus represented us before the Father here on earth, going to the cross, paying for our sins, resurrected in our place, which teaches us that we will beat death. Now he ever lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. There Jesus is, and he is representing us to God. We call this doctrine the priesthood of the believer. So what it means is that all of us as Christians around the world, we can go directly to the Father in prayer through the person of Jesus because he's our advocate. So what does that mean? That means you don't have to pray through a saint. That means you don't have to pray through a pastor like me. You don't have to come and ask me to pray in your place because you can't approach God. I'm happy to pray with you, for you, alongside you. But you go straight to the Father through the Son. If you've ever heard Christians pray publicly and out loud, they get to the end of their prayers a lot of times and you'll hear a Christian pray, in Jesus' name, amen. The reason they pray that is because of this doctrine. The priesthood of the believer says that anything and everything that I pray in the name of Jesus, because he's my representative, he's my advocate with the Father. He's the one that's given me access. So the question becomes, how does this work out in our lives? What does this mean for us? And I want to give you real quickly, I'll just give you four things that I think this means. Number one, ask for help. If you've got a habitual sin pattern, an addiction, be it chemical, relational, emotional, of some sort, you've got a rhythm or a pattern in your life that's just wearing you out, ask for help. Go ask a friend, ask a pastor, ask your life group leader, get help from a counselor, ask for help. Don't let cyclical patterns of sin or disobedience wear your life out. I was thinking this spring, I don't know if maybe you're this way, maybe you're not this way, but out at our house every spring, we've got these birds. And they're male birds. They've got to be male birds because females are way smarter than this. So these male birds, they come and they fly outside of these couple of windows at our house that have got just a little bit of tinting on the windows. And so because of that, I think the birds can see their reflection. And so it's like male birds who are trying to dominate their territory and they don't want other birds. So they see their reflection and they just fly into the window, right? They fly into the window over and over again, just banging their heads on these glass windows to the point that one of the windows is actually cracked because of how hard these birds were flying. Sometimes to their own peril, to their own death, they bang their head against that same glass and they think they're fighting an enemy when they're really just fighting themselves. And I just wonder, in some of my own destructive patterns, at various times in my life, I wonder if at times today, God looks at me, you know, Jesus is up there, my advocate, and he's like, there's Dean down there again. God, I'm sorry. He's just flying into that same window over and over again, thinking that my way is the right way and I'm doing the right thing and I'm fighting this right battle when all the while, I'm really just killing myself because I'm not asking for help. You've got counselors, you've got friends, you've got pastors here who love you, you've got life group leaders. Ask for help. The second thing I would say is pray your day. Every day when you get up, there's a certain amount of things that you know you're gonna do. Now, there's a certain amount of things that you know you don't know about what you're gonna do, but certain things you know. I would encourage you to ask for God's presence to fill you every day as you look at your day. So you say, well, God, I got this meeting coming up. And you know, I don't know what Mario is going to need from me in this meeting. This could be a tough one, God. So I need you to show up and give me wisdom here, God, that I don't have. God, I know this situation is going to require me to get this task done. I don't feel like I've got enough time. I need you to multiply my minutes to get this task. God, I've got these tests to take today, and there's really too many of them, and I don't know the material as well as I need to know the material. God, I've tried to do everything. God, I need your help. God, I've got this meeting today, and it's going to be a conflict situation. I'm going to need you to fill me. And when I say fill me, we're talking about the presence of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, indwelling us because we've surrendered to him. I think about it. I think about it like a baseball glove, right? This is a good old Franklin. It's been well broken in and used. But you know what? A baseball glove does no good at all. It's no good to you if it's not animated, right? If it's not filled. And once you put a hand in that glove, right? Now it works. It works because it's indwelt, because it's filled. Now, you can fill it with a lot of things, right? Your life. You can fill it with your family, right? Put your family in there and nothing, right? You can fill it with money, right? You can put some money in there. And that's not going to fill it and animate it. It's not going to achieve its purpose. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we then can understand how God wants to use us in the way that he's designed us, that we can fulfill our purpose. So ask for help. Secondly, pray your day. Thirdly, use your gifts. As we move over into this new facility, it's an opportunity for you to join one of our life teams and serve. Our teams put together a great video about serving. So take just a second here and watch this video with me.
LifePoint Church is a growing and multiplying church that has a vision to make disciples by reaching our neighbors, the nations, and the next generation. One of the primary ways we see this vision realized is by all of us stepping into personal ministry on a life team. These are teams of people using their time and gifting to help people draw life from God and point others to Him. The question is, how are you joining God's activity? How are you helping the vision to be realized? It takes all of us, every one of us, on a life team.
I'm super grateful for our team for putting that video together. Listen, serving is how we grow. Now, it's not the only way that we grow, but serving is a way that God uses us in the way that he's designed us, uses our gifts and brings those together so that we can help expand the kingdom through the local church. The last thing I would suggest to you is to invite. Invite friends, invite family. When something is new, people are almost twice as likely to respond to an invitation when something's brand new. We have a one-time opportunity to launch our church in the new facility on August the 29th. It'll be our grand opening Sunday. I hope that you will take this opportunity to invite friends, family, to be aware of people that God brings across your path. So those things, ask for help, pray your day, use your gift, and invite friends and family. All of those in the filling of God's presence. Here's the thing, your advocate will represent you, but your advocate is not gonna coerce you. God is not gonna twist your arm. He is not gonna make you follow him. He calls you to himself through love. He did that through the cross. He did that through the resurrection. He does that today in the fact that he still is representing you to God. He calls you to himself, but he's not gonna force you. And I would say for a lot of us, when we think about this whole idea of being filled, it's kind of like that. And being partially filled doesn't work. It's really an all or nothing thing. And when a human brings themselves before a holy God surrenders themselves to his presence. Not always simply, certainly not always easily. They are filled with the presence of God, and all of a sudden there's this sense about their lives that they are useful, that all of a sudden their life, that it works in the way that God intended it to. Now maybe you're here today and you've been filling your life with all the wrong things. And so today you would say, you know what, Dean, I wanna take that step of coming to know Christ personally. We'd love for you to take that step today. Maybe today you're looking at your life and maybe you've compartmentalized some areas away. You're kind of partially filled. Like you said to God, okay, I'm here with you, but I'm not willing to let you into this area. Today is a day to repent. We can all take the opportunity to search our hearts and ask God to fill us. Let's pray together. God, as we think about the beginning of the church, as we think about this commission that you've given us to expand the kingdom, God, I pray, God, that we wouldn't shoot too low, that our goals wouldn't simply be for church, but God, an expanding movement of churches that serves to expand your kingdom. God, please help us to be those kinds of people. And God, I pray for anybody this morning who's ready to take that step for their life to be filled with your presence because of the cross, because of the resurrection. God, I pray that today is their day. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Listen, if you want to take that step of following Christ today, if you're watching on one of our social media platforms, click on the link there that says Next Steps. If you're watching on Apple TV or Roku or a different platform, you can go to lifepointohio.com/watch. And there you'll find that same Next Steps button. And you can just take less than a minute, fill out that digital card, and we will send you a copy of a free resource called Your Next 30 Days that we have written just specifically for you so you know where to go from here in this new relationship with Christ that you've begun. If you'd like a prayer request or you'd like to share a prayer request with us, you can also do that via the Next Steps button that's there. If you're our guest, thank you so much for watching with us today. We're grateful that you've taken the time to invest in your spiritual life. At those same locations, social media, click on the link that says guest info or go to lifepointohio.com. The same button, guest info, is there. Take less than a minute after clicking on that. Fill out that guest info card. And when you do that, there's four ministries that are listed on that card. You choose one of those. We're already partnered with all four of them, but we'll make an additional $5 donation in your honor just for filling out that card, just so you can do something good today by investing and spending your time with us. And again, we're grateful for you. For those of you who are regular attenders and members, as always, thank you for your generosity. Thank you for how you are giving to expand the kingdom and kingdom work in our city beyond just our local church. I think about the Stowe Center. They just kind of tallied up their annual year's statistics. And, you know, part of what the Stowe mission does is they have a crisis pregnancy center there. And last year, the crisis pregnancy center served over 490 patients, just short of 500 patients they served in the crisis pregnancy center. They provide education there for those who are in categories of sexual risk. They provide free pregnancy tests there. They provide free resources for people in light of making abortive decisions. They provide resources there for young new moms. Last year alone, they gave away over 6,000 diapers there at the Stowe Center. So as you give here, you're giving to support ministries that are making a difference in our city, in our Jerusalem, that then are going to make an impact as we serve Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth.